Welcome to Waifimo.com, the podcast hosted by me, Roger Lopez Bennett, a born dreamer. In this podcast, we feature young entrepreneurs who have founded their first startup before 30. Why? Well, because under 30 founders are rare and sometimes not taken seriously, but their stories are even more interesting than the rest. And before starting this episode, let me remind you that extra information about the speakers can be found on waifimo.com/podcast. Enjoy!
You know, it's Bitcoin, you know, blockchain. For some people, maybe they don't understand this concept. And so how hard was it to explain it to the public, right? To a regular person, to make them, you know, use your service?
It's definitely challenging. It still is like a massive challenge. Like Elon Musk and Dogecoin and all of these crazy companies buying like tons of Bitcoin helps with that message that people go Google Bitcoin and they figure out what it is. But like our target users, like the users that use our platform today, are people that understand Bitcoin, have some Bitcoin, and have been in the space for like quite some time now. Nonetheless, it still is like we've worked really hard on the messaging, and like we've been through like hundreds and hundreds of revisions of like the way we pitch the company to outsiders, and it's evolved to a point where like it's a bit like, if you heard the pitch that I gave you in the beginning, it's like an easy way to pay or get paid instantly across the world. Like I didn't mention Bitcoin. So, I just mentioned the technologies that was used, but then like a lot of that stuff is, we're trying to abstract it away and trying to get more like trying to bring Bitcoin mainstream. So it's still a long ways away from for the average Joe to realize like why Bitcoin is valuable and like why someone should start using it as opposed to using like your regular currency. But it's definitely challenging to get the message across to normal folks as of today.
Yeah, and does that involve a lot of marketing to, you know, convince people?
Well, no, surprisingly not. Like our marketing budget's like really, really low, like actually close to $0. Like we don't spend much on that. Like we kind of know like who our target users are, and like we're just trying to, we try to get people that already understand Bitcoin onto the platform. So it's a lot of like personal reach out that myself and my co-founder do to get people onboarded as of today. Like marketing works when we kind of want to go like super big mainstream, and like, and we have like this massive user base already, and we want to try to get the non-Bitcoiners onto the platform. And that's when we really have to spend a lot of money in crafting the right message to make this like an attractive platform for non-Bitcoiners as well.
So that's going to be the next phase, I'm guessing. Or
yeah, exactly. Like as we expand and we build the platform out, that will be the next phase.
Yeah. So moving, you know, away from this topic a bit, what was your biggest down moment in your career as, you know, an entrepreneur?
The biggest down moment, I guess. Yeah. That's like actually there are like many, like I think this entire journey, like it's basically like it's like a roller coaster ride. Like some days like amazing, you feel great, and some days like really shitty, and then like you're like, man, should I continue doing this? I mean, but then it's, and then you just like pick yourself up, and it's completely different from like a normal job. There's a lot of uncertainty, like but if I had to pick like one down moment, it was it would be like around last year when like we were all ready to launch. Like we'd been building this stuff for years at this point, and we just couldn't wait to get it out there and like have people using it. And then like Europe puts out these new regulations that prevented crypto companies like from launching products like ours because you needed to have like some sort of license. And then the pandemic set in, and then the only way to get this license was if we could physically move to Europe, and we'd need an office there and be present physically there. And that was basically impossible due to the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So it started like the chances of us actually launching this thing started to look like slimmer and slimmer and slimmer. And that was like a very deep moment of reflection, and like, can we pull through this and can we make it happen? And yeah, one way, I mean, we kind of figured a way around that, and we partnered with like, we started like reaching out to people, and like we partnered with the right folks, and we were finally able to launch like a month and a half ago.
Oh, cool. And how's it going so far?
It's been pretty awesome. Like it's an exhilarating feeling to see people using like the products that we spent so much time building, and like all like the platform, and like a lot of users do personally reach out to us, and some of the messages like really, it's really nice to see that people enjoy the service, and like this is something that they really, really wanted to use. It's still far away from like being mainstream, and like I think that's the next phase of the company, like growing this thing from its baby steps right now to something that's like, you know, like Cash App or Venmo or like something that big.
Yeah. Before you mentioned you got accepted to Y Combinator, and you know, I have Y Combinator app here like as like the biggest thing. Yeah, how was it like being accepted, and how was the process?
It was awesome. I mean, that's the, like anything related to YC. Like the only thing I can say is it's absolutely fantastic, and there's like there's a reason why YC comp like there's a high percentage of YC companies that are really successful. The process of getting accepted was, I mean, it's really not. I mean, it's not an easy one. Like one of the main things, like as I left university, I really really wanted to get into YC. Like that was like one of my top goals. But then, I mean, and the reason is also because like we were first time founders and we did need, like we had no guidance. We had no idea how to build a company. Like what is a company? Like what are shares? Like all the basic stuff, you know, like, and we kind of realized like YC is like the granddaddy of all great startups. And we wanted to get in there one way or the other. We realized like how difficult it's going to be. And we never actually applied for like until this year, because we just never felt like we were ready. Like we didn't have like a live product, and in hindsight, I should have applied earlier, but then we just like, as we figured out the stuff around Europe and we had the product more or less ready to launch, we applied to YC. Like that 5 minute, like getting accepted to the interview was one thing. Like my co-founder and I were like just super, like my co-founder lives in the US and I live in India right now. So okay. Like in the middle of the night, we got this email that, hey, you guys like invited for the interview, and we were just like both overjoyed. And we were like, we started preparing like, okay, how are we going to like we started doing like these mock interviews between ourselves, like asking each other like these really, really hard questions about the company. Wow. And, It was all like for a 5 minute, no, sorry, like a 10 minute, no, what was that? 15 minute Zoom call, my bad. Okay. Like a 15 minute Zoom interview. And that was like a really, really grueling. I mean, as you may read a lot, like there's a lot of stuff about this online, but then it was like just like all the YC partners, I mean, four of the YC partners just like bombarding you with like really difficult but legitimate questions about like your business, and just want to make sure that you know what you're doing and there's actually a possible business case there. And we felt like we did reasonably well in the interview. And then post interview, like it's like 24 hours of like uncertainty where you wait for them to give, they actually call you up and tell you like, hey, you got in. So like it's just like 24 hours, like we didn't sleep at all. Like we were just both waiting for the phone to ring, like or they just send you an email saying you didn't get in. So we just waited for a while, and my co-founder got the call, and like that was just an awesome moment. And
wow.
And yeah, so I guess they took a big shot in us.
I guess those 24 hours were the worst hours, the worst day of your life, huh?
It wasn't worth it. It was like just a ton of anxiety, you know, like we really, like we were prepared in our heads, like, oh man, like, I don't think we're good enough to get in. Like in our heads, we were like, this is, I mean, it's a long shot. It's like a really, really a long shot. But then, there was a lot of uncertainty, like as it's always, but then it was like when we got that call and then my co-founder called me, like that feeling was just amazing.
Cool. And yeah, what's your main goal there? Like get funding or like, you know, improve the company in some way? Yeah.
It's definitely to improve the company. Like I think the timing was just beyond perfect. Like we just launched the product and we had to learn a lot about like, how do you build a product? How do you scale a product? Like how do you find product market fit? Like from a funding perspective, we really weren't that concerned. Like we already had investors in the company and we still have, we have a lot of runway going forward. Like the company is well capitalized, but like YC really, really, it's just really helping us in understand like, how do you go from like zero to one? Like all the YC partners tell us like very bluntly, like if we're doing something wrong or they think we're doing something wrong, or like on the ways that we should be approaching like growing the company, like how do we talk to users? How do we get user feedback? How do we like implement good feedback and like just discard the bad feedback and look at the growth of the company and all this? Like I think fundraising is like secondary. Like it's not like people don't usually try to go to YC with the intention of raising money. And okay. They're like, the partners are good at seeing that if somebody's trying to do that. So.
How much is the price? Like, it's not like the price, the funding at the end. It's not that big, right? Or is it?
Yeah. So as of like for our batch, YC invest like $125,000 for 7% of your company. And that was the same deal that all the YC companies get, at least this batch.
Oh, all of them? Like for being in the YC, you get that?
Yeah, exactly. Like all YC, like there's no like negotiation. Like it's a standard deal and like all the companies have the same model.
Oh, cool. But then... Okay, but you said you got investors backing you up, right? But otherwise, you could meet the investors there. Like, you know, I'm talking for, you know, anyone that might listen to this and might apply to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you could be there and meet other investors or people who are ready to invest in your startup too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I mean, like the YC, like I think one of the bigger things is like the YC network itself, like, there's just this insane community of founders, like really, really smart founders who you can reach out to like very easily, and they're helpful in offering advice or even investing. So that's one possibility in itself. And there's actually in our batch, there's like some companies that are like significantly more advanced, like companies that are beyond a series A and have raised like $10 million and they're still doing YC. In the fact that the value is more than, like, it's way more than the capital. Like, most people don't, like, try to go to YC to get money. It's just like a side effect of it.
The network, right, that you get. Yep. Yeah,
exactly.
Cool. And, you know, being online will affect you in any way, or you don't think so?
It's affected us, like, in sort of like a positive-ish way. Like, we work a lot. We don't have anything else to do. Like, we just work all the time, which kind of does take a toll on, like, our personal lives and stuff. So we'd love to, like, someday get back to, like, normal and have a physical office one day and, like, have the team in one place and hang out, you know, and, like, build that social culture within the company as well.
Yeah.
So it's got its ups and downs. Like, the pandemic is pretty annoying.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, how's your office? Is it like a cool sort of office, or, you know, it's more like, you know, small and.
No, it's pretty neat, actually. Like, our office and, like, the one where we have in India, like, it's basically like this it's 3-floor house that we rented from one of my friends, and like, all of us just live and work in the same place, and we have, like, parties here, and we have, like, all sorts of cool stuff in the office, and it's a pretty nice place, actually. I mean, it would just be nice to have, like, the entire team in one country in one office. But like, when we do set up, like, an office in SF one day, like, it's gonna be one of those, like, cool. Like, that was one of my dreams. Was, like, I really want to have that, like a really nice office with an awesome team.
Wow. Hopefully. Yeah, it'll come. It'll come. And yeah, like, so besides YC, have you applied to other, you know, accelerators, or that was the only shot?
No. So like, before YC, we did, like, the UC Berkeley accelerator as well. So that was like the most notable one outside of YC. Yeah. But no, like, this is effectively with YC and UC Berkeley, like, that's the end of accelerators for us. And yeah, I mean, beyond YC, there's nothing, like, really better than that. Or there's no value for us. Like, we've learned everything we could possibly learn from the accelerator angle.
Cool. And if, you know, there's entrepreneurs who want to follow your path, what would you recommend them to do? Like, what have you learned that you say, hey, do this different?
I think it's, I think the number one thing that I've learned, like, it's probably like a pattern among, not, I mean, more like, it's a pattern that I've observed among, like, other successful companies, or other companies that have, like, done well. It's basically, like, it's the founders that do insane things that most of the people think are absurd. So, like, a lot of people have, like, really cool ideas, but then ideas, like, worth absolutely nothing until you actually do something about them. So, and in general, like, it's just like taking these really radical steps and, like, doing something insane that you would not feel comfortable doing. Like, that's probably what I would suggest. Like, if you think you're going to feel uncomfortable doing this thing, but you want to do it, you should probably do it. Like running a company is basically a journey of learning to be comfortable with being uncomfortable, you know?
Yeah, I like that. I like that sentence. You know, finally, I ask this to all our guests and they hate it, but so yeah, what's your goal in life and what do you want to be remembered for?
That's a good one. I mean, I had like a really ballsy answer to this when I was young and, like, full of steam in my head, like, you know, like, with this big ego. But I mean, I guess it's toned down a bit. But I guess one of the number one things I wanted to do, like, with my life is like, build something that just lives on, whether it's on the internet or, like, something that's, like, valuable and, like, so that I feel like my life was worth living. You know, like, especially given that I spend more than, like, I mean, like, 80% of my adult life just, like, studying and learning programming and software, like, being in school. I would like to, like, spend the rest of my life building something, using all of that knowledge in a way that's memorable. You know, like, I know, like, 20 years, like, I want to build, like, I'd love to build, like, a really valuable company for that impacts people, or, like, builds, like, a really cool product that other people get value from for the long run.
Cool. Would the company be LastBit or?
I hope so.
Yeah,
that's the goal. I mean, we're putting all our eggs in this basket at this point, at least.
Cool. Well, thanks for being here at YFM.com, the podcast. It was a pleasure having you here. You know, I enjoyed it. I hope our listeners did as well. And yeah, thanks for coming.
Awesome. Thank you for inviting me. Like, I had a blast.
Yeah, thanks. Well, thanks for listening. And, you know, this is the end of season 2. How sad it is, right? Yes, but, you know, thanks for listening to these episodes. You know, even though it doesn't seem like there's a lot of work, and there is, like, it's a lot of work. So thanks to you all who listened to this, and to those who are new here, you know, go check them out. They're really good episodes.
And you may ask yourself, will there be a season 3? And the answer is a huge yes. So after the success of this season, we gotta do it no matter what. So, as I said in at the end of season one, and I'll say it again now, we will take season 3 to a whole other level. So just wait for it. But in the meanwhile, you can follow us on social media at YFMOG to stay up to date and don't miss when season 3 comes out. And also, we will be posting more content and insights of this season. So, we got you covered. And, thanks again for listening. And I can't wait to talk to you again soon. All right, bye-bye, take care.